Do you love the 86 Transformers movie soundtrack and missed out on last year's Respect the Prime album? Well, you have another chance. Distortion Productions is releasing Respect the Prime 1986 Revisited Convention Edition this summer with two additional bonus tracks by the band Thoughtform. This release will be physical only and limited to 300 copies, with all proceeds being donated to cancer research. It will be available exclusively at TFCon Toronto, TFCon DC, Dark Side of the Con 2, and there's also a limited number available at distortionprod.com. The album cover art features Galvatron rocking out and was created by IDW fan favorites Nick Roach and Josh Perez. If you love the 86 movie soundtrack, and let's face it, if you're listening to this, you probably do, be sure to get to a convention this summer and grab this album.
Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk all Hasbro, Dakar, and third party. Transformers! On this episode of Transmissions, we are joined by Vangelis from WTF at TFW. Daryl shows off some new images of Titan's Return Triptychon. Jeremy talks about the Hasbro Masterpiece Optimus Prime announcement. And Vangelis shows off live-action movie Masterpiece Optimus Prime pictures. I'm Quattro and a proud donor to Transmissions, so let's start the show.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that's ready to have a go-kart race at TFCon. I'm your host, Jeremy, aka Yakko, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, I'm an entire team today. Let's talk Transformers.
Charles is somewhere gallivanting in Germany, and Yoshi is gallivanting somewhere in the Pacific Northwest. We had to beg and plead, and we got Vangelis from WTF at TFW to come and fill in for both of them.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that's ready to have a go-kart race at TFCon. Hi,
you're not supposed to actually read the doc. I'm guest
Vangelis from WTF at TFW. Dot donations. Or am I going too far? I went too far. All right. Hi. Hope this is going to go great. I'm feeling good. I got Coke Zero. I'm not going to spill this time. It's going to be wonderful. That's a spoiler for the most recent WTF episode.
Well, this will be out long before that.
It's true. It's true.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on.
No problem.
We are going to start off, as we like to do, with donations. We have a new Patreon supporter, number 46 on the road to 60, before we can get our new declassified show done. This is a longtime listener, Winston. So thanks so much for supporting. And, you know, like I said, we really want to do this declassified show monthly. So we just need a few more and we will commit to doing yet another show.
Props to Winston. I'm doing the props hand signal. Y'all know what I mean.
Hello, Winston.
Oh, jeez.
What is this, Winston, you're just joining now? You've been listening forever. Why are you just joining now? You some kind of freeloader? You need to have joined much longer ago. You owe back pay.
Where did Daryl go?
You have not met
me
yet.
He went to Russia.
Mr. Vangelis, I am Russian Yoshi.
Russian Yoshi? You're not on the Google Doc. Hang on, let me just add you in here.
I am the proprietor of this podcast.
All right. And well, now you're on the Google Doc. Now I know who you are.
I do not like to, well, how you say, be in front of the camera. I just run this show from the background.
Run the show right into the ground.
I mean, do we even need Daryl? We've got Russian Yoshi here.
Yeah, well, we've been trying to get real Daryl for months.
I mean, I think it would be great if Russian Yoshi was just here for the entire show.
I don't think Russian Yoshi could maintain this voice for the entire show.
Well, yeah, you know, there is training. You got to have that honey and tea, you know.
But it is nice to know that somebody appreciates the hard work that I put into making the voice sound so authentic. I'm done.
Is he trying to say he's not actually Russian? Oh, Daryl, where'd you come from?
Oh, hey.
I didn't even notice you leave.
Shit.
You just missed Russian, you know, Yoshi was here.
And now you know why I have no other Russian listeners.
Well, you got Russian Yoshi. You don't need any other Russian listeners.
Now that that is done, Russian Yoshi can go back into his little box. Let's check out some toys.
I have a couple topics I wanted to do real quick. They're both in-hand items. We're starting off with in-hand images of Titans Return Trypticon, and I am super excited for this figure. This is a big mamma jamma, boys. We got pictures of the box. We got pictures of what Trypticon looks like in the box. And to be perfectly honest, when I saw this, I kind of thought it looked like what you see at like an archaeological dig when they're digging up the bones because the dinosaur is all splayed out in the ground. I thought it was kind of funny that way. But, it really doesn't look anything like Trypticon in the box. It's a fully assembled piece here. You got to definitely put it together.
It's like they make them two dimensions.
Exactly.
They really fill out that box space, too. Like, there's not a lot of wasted space in there.
Oh, yeah. And they got a picture of him beside Metroplex, his nemesis. They got him in all the different modes here. So the what is now the spaceship mode and the battle station mode and obviously the dinosaur mode. I'm in absolute love with this figure. I even like the spaceship mode. You know, what the hell? Why can't Trypticon be a spaceship? You know what? If Sixshot can be a submarine, Trypticon can be a spaceship. The battle station mode looks phenomenal. I am all over this thing. And obviously the dinosaur mode or Godzilla mode, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to call it a dinosaur mode. It looks fantastic. I don't know about the rest of you, but this is on my must-buy list for this year. I fully expect it to be, what do you want to say? What's his name? Shit, I just forgot his name.
I'm trying to read your mind.
I know.
Trying to read your mind.
Fortress Maximus, that one, yeah. That one. So the fact that Fortress Maximus is still out there, you know, I fully expect the same kind of reception for Fortress that Fortress Maximus has gotten. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I bet you they'll probably produce it in lower numbers, but not as low as what we saw with Metroplex.
I think Metroplex was like legit an experiment. And I would be really surprised if any future Titan figure gets produced in that low a number again, because he was having to like prove that the price point is even viable.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I do want to remind you, Metroplex did end up getting sold at Costco, you know,
but you had to be lucky to find it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when it did hit Costco, though, it was $90. So, I mean, the price got reduced quite a bit and they did sell them by the skid. So, I mean, they were selling them pretty well, you know, all day, every day. But Fortress Maximus, that's on another level of production. What happened recently this past week with Fortress Maximus is they got sold or spotted at this store in the States called Ollie's. I don't have an Ollie's. Evangelist and I, we don't have Ollie's here in Canada.
I don't either.
Okay, so.
There are a lot of people who don't have Ollie's, and people who do, there was a time window, because apparently when that news got out, you had about 12 hours, and then people who would like to buy a whole lot of Fortress Maximuses to maybe sell at a later date swooped in.
Yeah.
Is what I heard.
Yes. I'm a part of a number of Facebook groups, and there were a lot of very upset people. So, yeah. But, I mean, we're talking about Trypticon right now, and I fully expect him to be put on the same kind of level of Fortress Maximus, but maybe not the same numbers. What do you guys think here? I mean, we're looking at pretty much production sample.
I mean, it's out. This set of photos, I think, is from Australia.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Where he actually came out. And Big Bad has him dated for this month. So, like, at least by TFCon, I think this guy will be somewhat available. I'm excited. The spaceship mode is actually what ended up selling me on this figure when they first revealed him. It was the spaceship mode and its gimmicks, plus what they did with Full Tilt. So yes. I'm hyped. I am just hoping that I can track one down when everything lines up the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Like I heard on the grapevine that there was a question out there in the ether about whether or not to pick it up at Canadian retail, and I'm thinking that, you know, if it shows up at a Toys R Us with the wonderful coupons that we have going on up north right now, that would be very tempting.
It happens to be out sometime in the middle of next month. And I have American money I can exchange for your funny Canadian money. That might be a good idea.
You could just waltz right up there and go like, oh, hang on. Let me pull some money out of my sock, some of my sock emergency money. Oh, here, change this to Canadian. Oh, yeah, I'll buy three. Sure. I'll buy three Trypticons. I was just going to throw out there also on the secret celebrity grapevine. I heard once someone say that only states which hemorrhage money have Ollie's. So I would say the occurrence of the Ollie's clearance Fort Max's, that very well could be a one-off thing. I would hesitate greatly before applying that to Trypticon in case anyone's waiting to, like, you know, I'm going to get a $40 Trypticon. It's like you can also roll a whole lot of dice and try to get a whole bunch of sixes in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is the $40 Fort Max is like the perfect combination of things that need to just kind of get these out of the back stock for Trypticon to come in.
Yeah.
There's been other sales and other opportunities to get Fort Max at a cheaper price along the way. And I mean, he's still sitting in some of the Toys R Us's around the area here.
Oh yeah. And like, I got mine for a decent discount off Amazon.ca when they slashed him down to, I forgot what it was now. It was a lot less than what he costs at Toys R Us here.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, will I pay full retail price? No, but
yeah, like, there's no reason to in Canada right now. Like, I almost feel guilty saying it. It's just every Transformer that comes out this year is on sale within about a month.
Yeah.
We're on, like, our second almost dedicated The Last Night sale, because I guess Toys R Us Canada is, like, using some crystal ball power and going, like, listen, we don't want stock sitting around ever.
They're treating Transformers as a loss leader to get people in the stores.
Yeah.
They might be. But it's their own damn fault. This fucking product shouldn't be priced the way it is.
Yeah. Oh, it's Deluxe, yeah.
Deluxe should be $30. It's ridiculous. It's their own fault.
Like, I like it more that it's like, no, Deluxes are actually just $2 up, but you have to come in at the right time.
Yeah. It's a deal, really.
I don't go into the Toys R Us much just because of their markup, but then I go to like Target and Deluxes are around 15, 16. And then I go to Walgreens and they're like 18. I'm like, yeah, this is why I'm never going to Toys R Us for these.
Yeah, our Walmart's unfortunately priced at Toys R Us prices for the new movie toys, because I know in the States a lot of folks told me, like, oh, I went to Walmart and got it for $15. And I'm like, yeah, well, I went to friggin' your mom and got it for something. But then, like, they'd already left the room halfway through that sentence. I was just talking to the air.
I can't wait to just see videos of people, like, feeding Titan Masters to this thing.
I'm going to get a whole new pair of overalls to do that. I'm going to be cool like the Takara Tomy video.
And you gotta have the shit-eating grin on the entire time. So this is the best thing in the world you could be doing at the moment.
Absolutely. As long as, like, I am the best thing I have ever been paid to do in this moment is feed these to this toy.
All right, moving on from Trypticon to something a tad smaller here. We got in-hand images of Twin Twist. I mean, this figure is fucking great. It's awesome. It is the repaint / remold, because it's obviously got a couple of remolded bits of Topspin from Titans Return. He looks great. He looks fantastic. I'm very much looking forward to getting him. Topspin's a great figure. I don't know anybody who's had an issue with Topspin. Hell, even Yoshi bought one last week and loves it. So if you can get Yoshi to buy a new figure, that's saying something. I know none of us have real had an opportunity to play with this yet, unless Evangelist has. You guys looking forward to this? Is this on your buy list?
I mean, yeah, because Topspin was great, and this is 90% Topspin. So it's like with those with the other Decepticon Target Masters they're doing off of Trigger Happy. I'm like, well, Trigger Happy was great. I'll buy two remolds. I wouldn't mind owning this toy a couple times. Tweaked. Really, like, I just the only negative thing I have to say about this guy is, like, and I was wondering about this, is one of these guys going to look more like the other one? And it's like, all right, this was a Topspin mold, and Twin Twist is the remold. It's mostly the sticky uppy tank tread bits where it's like, all right, like, clearly this was a jet first. I'm not mad about the sticky uppy shoulder bits. In fact, I'm almost grateful, because I'm like, all right, I have a real easy negative point I can throw down in my little list of things, so I'm not just endlessly praising the toy, because otherwise I'm just endlessly praising the toy. I think it's a fantastic Transformer, one of the best of this year and even like the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think it looks great too. It's something that would be on my list to pick up if I see it.
That's it. That's all I brought to the table this week, guys.
Evangelist, what do you got this week?
I just wanted to talk a little bit more about Masterpiece Movie Prime. The two Masterpiece Movie toys seem to be in various hands over in Asia right now, and I just got the 10th anniversary movie, The Best. Leader Prime. I'm actually really happy I got it, even though this is on the horizon. That said, like, it's pretty darn cool how much this looks like it is trying to be like the categorical replacement in as many ways as it can be. I'm very much looking forward to the tighter profile of this piece. Movie Prime has become a design I'm a lot more into, partly through my own doing. And I'm really excited to mess with these movie masterpiece toys, mostly because I saw a video of a guy transforming the Bumblebee. And it's feeling like there's a good potential. These are going to have that very specific masterpiece hand feel in the transformation that I enjoy so much in a lot of official masterpiece toys, where they just have this really specific tactile sensation when you are like slotting parts together or moving them past each other, where it feels like there are geometries at work designed to make this more enjoyable for Movie Prime and to pull off the transformation he's attempting. I feel like that might be one of the biggest boons of this figure. Like, you know, obviously there's no way of telling that until I've messed with one. The way that he folds up and that it looks like he's taking a lot of ideas from the leader toy, which I thought already had great ideas, is getting me kind of hyped. I'm hoping this thing shows up pretty soon. I want to put his swords on him and I want to have him murder some toys. Yeah, that's all I got. Yeah.
You don't think the head looks, to me, it doesn't look as movie one as it the rest of the body does.
I guess there's a thing about me with the movie designs, which I've come to identify, is the way that I look at them, I blur them together a whole lot between the films, like with the minor model changes that happen.
Sure.
As far as Optimus Prime from movies 1 to 3, the only thing I really ever notice is whether or not he has truck guts or an abdomen. And I mean, this is a thing that even comes down to things like the dreads, where it's like, I know that the dreads all are slightly different, but if you just sold me 3 crankcases, I would happily call them the dreads. So I don't really know the head differences all that well, like other than they got the triangle eyes and they have those kind of gills on the side of his cheeks. Mm-hmm. I think if there's one critique of the head, it's really that kind of feel like they made his eyes too thin. They're a bit too narrow for the way the paint is on them. Like, I wouldn't have minded if they were slightly more open.
The first time I saw it, I didn't realize it was a triangle, and I was like looking at the blue area above. I'm like, there's no paint.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I think that his expression is maybe a little too harsh for the size of that sculpt. And with movie faces, especially with Optimus Prime's, like, you've got to be careful with that eye sculpt.
Yeah, because he wasn't so evil in movie one.
Yeah, you know, he was just grumpy now and then. That's why I'm sure this wasn't the design intent. Like, I'm taking this as my Movie Prime who represents, like, the opening trilogy. You know, he's got to kind of fuzzily fit into that silhouette. He can be kind of angry looking. I'm curious how, like, the final product's going to look with the unmasked face. Is he going to have, like, that kind of just sort of stoic, stiff upper lip? Or is he going to have the slight more pout of the angrier, more murderous iteration? But yeah, like, when I say I'm looking forward to this thing, like, if I were to start tearing it down a little bit, I could find bits and pieces here and there that I'm not as into. I think, like, one that I could call out right away is the way that the shoulder canisters and panels are arrayed. For a toy that tightens up a whole lot, that is still sticking out a little bit in a way that makes him look like an older toy. And I want to know how all those wheels are seated on his legs, because depending how, like, there's things about him where I need to mess with him to see, like, how stuff bumps together. My big hope is that nothing really bumps together, and that's the geometry that's the advantage of being made in 2017. I don't know, like, I haven't caught how you guys are really feeling about this one. Like, is there any excitement between you two, or are you kind of just taking a look at this from afar?
I haven't been a big fan of the movie designs in general.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my masterpiece stuff is pretty much G1, and then I have the Optimus Primal, and that's pretty kick-ass.
That's going to always be the thing with masterpiece movie toys, is, like, at the end of the day, they're also the movie designs. And, like,
yeah,
even if I think the engineering's great, like, there's no way I'm going to sit there going hard-selling someone, going, like, look, it turns into something you don't like, but it does such a good job of how it turns into it.
Well, I mean, just hopefully this engineering, some tricks that they learn here go into other toys I do like.
Yeah,
I'm on the how did they do it side of things. I want to know the engineering side. I'm on the fence of whether or not I want to get it or not. Being a dual release from Hasbro and Takara at the same time, I have a feeling it's going to be much more widely available. So I feel like I probably will end up with this thing, but I'm not actively pre-ordering it or searching for it or anything like that. But I'm very interested to see how it works, just because I do have all of the movie leader class figures for Optimus so far. Some by accident, not by accident, but by picking them up on like thrift stores and stuff like that, and some on purpose. I went out and specifically got them, but it would be neat to see what they did over the years to change it, to improve on this design. It looks good as far as a movie toy goes.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that his trailer hitch was on his back, I was like, all right, I'm immediately triple interested, because now I know this isn't a modified Revenge of the Fallen Leader toy. Mm-hmm. I think they copied the foot transformation, but I think that if you're going to copy something, that is an amazing piece of engineering that I don't see how you could do better. So yeah, it's when I saw the trailer hitch on the back and I saw how much thinner he is in profile, I'm like, all right, engineering part of my toy collecting is completely activated now. I need to get a hold of this thing to mess with it. But I also think you're right. Like, if any Masterpiece Movie toy is going to be produced almost to an overproduced level, it's going to be this guy in Bumblebee.
Yes.
I'll be amazed if these become hard to find before they become like 6 months old.
Daryl, you'll probably be finding some in Value Village.
Masterpiece? I've never found a Masterpiece at Value Village.
I heard Ollie's sometimes get stuff for really cheap.
No, I was going to say that you touched on the Bumblebee thing is as being another dual release. That it's a slight tangent, but I have absolutely no interest in that figure. How do you feel about that one, Chris?
That was one where my interest level it got up to a point where I'm interested in it, but it took a little bit. It took seeing just things like, you know, the full suite of articulation on the arms and whatnot. And then I was still like, if I'm really interested in how a toy works, I am going to skip videos of it till I get it, because I want to be there to see how it works.
Yeah.
Masterpiece Movie Bumblebee, I was ready to watch the video that went up for him, and flipping through the video and then seeing how he worked, I got more and more into what he was doing. Once I saw that he wasn't following the template that a lot of the deluxe Bumblebees tend to follow, which is, again, like one of those cases of a lot of those movie Bumblebee deluxes, even though they're all completely different toys from each other, a lot of them are using similar tricks, because it's like, in that price point, this is a trick that works for representing this character. Like the L-shaped yellow piece that always ends up on his thigh is usually made from the rear fender, because it just ends up there.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that the movie Masterpiece Bumblebee transforms was enough to kind of get me feeling like I'm ready to pick it up. I am 10 times more interested in the Optimus Prime, though.
Yeah.
I think the Human Alliance Bumblebee existing is part of what tempers my expectations, or not my expectations, tempers my excitement a little bit, because that thing is not a masterpiece, but it is a huge step up from every deluxe Bumblebee, and it does a ton of what I feel like I would get out of a Masterpiece Movie Bumblebee the first time. So with Prime, it is me going straight from that leader toy to this, and like there's no real spot in between, whereas Human Alliance happened, you know, after 2009.
Well, I will wrap up with another Masterpiece figure, one that we have seen many times. Hasbro and Toys R Us, via the Toys R Us YouTube channel, have put up a video of MP10 Optimus Prime. This is hosted by John Warden. It's a straight up MP10. You know, not Year of the Horse, where they did gold and stuff on it. So I guess they're just taking advantage of a movie release or movie hype and putting this thing out there again.
And probably, I think there's some demand for that figure still. Because, I mean, I got the Japanese one and was fine with it. But, like, yeah. I remember the war stories of 2012, myself included to a degree, because I was like, hey, it's different colors. I might pick it up if I see it. I never saw one on a store shelf, ever. And I know that I remember there were a lot of people who got the Year of the Horse one because it was the only way they could get them old. So
that's the group I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was lucky enough to be working at a Toys R Us when this figure came out, and I put one aside for myself and picked it up, because a sale came on when MP10 was out, and I got my MP10 on sale with my employee discount. It cost me $67 Canadian. But I can recall seeing, because I worked in the electronics department, I can recall seeing people walking from the Transformers aisle with their cart filled with all the MP10s that were on the shelf. And I think we only got, the entire store might have got 8 boxes. So what's that? 16 figures? So.
Yeah. Like that thing did not ship a whole lot in Canada, from what I recall.
No. And there were 320 of them. I remember looking it up.
Wow.
For the entirety of the country, there were 320 MP10s.
Yeah, I could see this being really good news for a lot of people. And I think it's telling that they also are calling it MP10, because that's kind of the fan parlance for that toy.
Yeah.
Like, that's the shorthand. And it's kind of cool that, like, I don't even remember the Hasbro Masterpiece numbering anymore. And I almost wonder if, like, they just arbitrarily went, like, let's just call it MP10, because that's what everyone calls it.
And it's not like it's an MP10 plus, you know, because it's like anime styles or anything like that. It's straight up MP10.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a re-release. Now, I did want to mention that you can actually get this still, because there is a re-release on Big Bad right now. It's $160 US. So it's not,
Takara?
I think. Well, it's got the Hasbro boxes, though. So it's probably probably Hasbro Asia re-release.
Mm.
But yeah, this is the first time this has come back to North America officially. There's a lot of hype for this figure because it is, you know, coming back to an official brick and mortar store again. But it's not like it's been unavailable. Mm. It is currently available. So, but it's going to be great. I fully expect this figure to be $200 Canadian in Toys R Us.
I'll be amazed if it's under $200. Like, really? if it's 180, I can believe that. But, like, if it goes under 180, then, like, that's not the Toys R Us I know right now.
Yeah. No, everything's crazy priced.
I think Year of the Horse was around 120 or so for me.
Yeah. So. And that's U.S.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, by the way, when we're talking about, like, 180 and 200, we mean Canadian, which, you know, subtract whatever the 30% was we added. I don't actually know how to do that reverse percentage math off the top of my head.
I just know, like, last time I checked, like a week or two ago, it was like 76 US cents to the Canadian dollar.
Yeah, you guys are making a bank on us right now.
Hey, come on down to TFCon, buy my things.
I am looking forward to spending money at TFCon.
Yeah.
The last thing I got is there has been a listing. Oh, actually, it's actually in Walmart's right now. There's Transformer-themed go-karts. They have an Optimus Prime and a Bumblebee, and they are G1-styled characters, and it's for ages 4 to 8, and I think this is, you know, something that I'm sure we all enjoyed as kids, you know, little pedal-based go-karts like this, and I'm glad that they're bringing it back, although the Bumblebee face does look a little hideous.
I would have done a backflip for the Optimus Prime one when I was 4 to 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do a forward flip for one now, but it'll break when I try to ride it, so I really shouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, they don't have these that are, like, able to support adult weights, but...
Do kids still use pedal cars? I got three or four kids in my neighborhood who I see driving down the street in those battery-operated power wheels. I'm like, you lazy kids.
I've seen at Toys R Us, they have some of those with, like, aux input jacks for an MP3 player.
Are you serious?
Well, the pedal cars are for the kids hilarious. Whose parents want their kids to go beat up the kids whose parents were rich enough to get
What I think would be funny is if they had, like, modification kit for a golf cart. So, like, your adult could have your Optimus Prime golf cart.
I mean, really, it's that front plate, right? Like, if you just cut that front plate off and stick it onto a larger vehicle.
Yeah.
I just realizing, by the way, Optimus Prime's crotch is front center on the front bumper and, like, bulging out a little.
Well,
like, cause Bumblebee has a real car for a part, you know, design for the front. Optimus is just like, yo!
Oh, you're right. It's his waist, not the truck front.
Did any of you guys ever have a pedal cart as a kid?
I had a tricycle. I never had any of the themed ones. Oh, no, I take it back. I think I had the Knight Rider one.
I did, too.
I never had one, but there was one at my German relative's place. And whenever we visited, I would try to use it. And then eventually my knees no longer bent enough for me to be able to use it. That was a very sad visit.
Yeah. You realize you're too big.
Yeah. My best kind of go-kart thing I had, because it's appropriate since this is Father's Day. This was something my dad built for me. Like, he built me this go-kart, and then we took this big old refrigerator box and put on it, and he painted it up to be like the A-Team van.
Nice.
I'm like, for like one day, I'm the coolest kid on the block.
I had a friend who made go-karts in elementary school, and it was really, really neat, and I used them a lot, but this was back, you know, before I hit that age where you understand property and object permanence and things. So, like, I was like, man, your go-karts are great, but I also kept wrecking them. And then eventually he stopped letting me use his go-karts. And then I blamed him for some reason because, you know, I didn't understand property at the time. I almost I pitched forward in that go-kart once and landed wrist first and skidded a whole lot. And that's when I understood why I put on those wrist guards.
Yeah.
Because I wore all the plastic off of them. And I was like, hey, you know that. And then I was like, I wonder what would have happened if that was my flesh. And then I looked at the huge skid mark the wrist guards had left behind me. And I was like, that would be all red. I'd probably be unconscious. So, you know, wear protection. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that is all the new official stuff we have. I think Daryl has something for KO Corner.
This comes to us from our good friend Matthew Ignash, who sent this to me via Facebook and then promptly posted it on TFW. He says that there is a company making an upscale-sized Legends Shockwave from Combiner Wars, possibly the KFC-style articulated hands with some other improvements. He believes it's going to be out in fall of 2017 at 18 centimeters or 7 inches tall, so Voyager scale. I didn't know that there was a big market for Voyager-sized Shockwaves. Apparently there is, but it's cool. I guess Voyager Shockwave. This is a cool figure. If you get three of them, you can make a Voyager reflector.
So I saw a picture, I think, of the same company where they tooled up a new reflector head and were like, look what we're doing. So I think that is part of their goal.
Oh, that's neat.
Well, that'd be cool.
I think, the reflector had a new head and a new chest with the lens in the stomach. In the photo that I saw.
That's neat. Well, I guess if you've got the mold and you know it works, you know, for what it does, then why not go to town with it, right?
Yeah, and there was a, I can confirm, in the subculture of third-party transforming robots, there was a call that I know I saw a couple times for an upscale of Combiner Wars Shockwave, because there are upscales of a couple other Legends toys from, I believe, Mech Fans Toys, who did the upscales of some DX9 Legends toys as well. Mm-hmm. So there has been a vocal call for this, so I'm not surprised someone's doing it.
Oh, yeah. No, we know firsthand. We've gotten the upscale of the Combiner Wars Power Glide. All of us were secretly sent one by
one of our listeners.
Someone had gotten our addresses and sent them to us, so...
Ooh, I'm gonna squint eyes and see if I can weed them out from this text chat that I might be looking at. See if anyone's got a guilty face on their lettering.
Mm-hmm.
We do know we have one person that lives in China.
Yes.
And it came from a China shipping company.
All right, someone on Celebrity Grapevine is claiming I might have sent the Power Glides. That's incorrect. I would never send gifts to other people. I'm too greedy.
Either way, it was pretty awesome. And the Power Glide is amazing. That oversized Power Glide is really awesome. But yeah, no, to just have KO oversized Power Glides start showing up at your door is, you know, was pretty awesome.
What about when, like, more of them start showing up and you're like, okay, I've got 20. And then, like, they stop showing up at your door. It's just wherever you kept them, suddenly there's twice as many the next time you open that cupboard.
No, what would be weird is if you go out for dinner or you go, you know, go to a show or a movie and somebody just brings you one. So this showed up here like 2 days ago, said to hold on to it until you got here.
I thought you were going to say, if you happening? Go for dinner and they bring out your food and it's just a bowl of giant knockoff Power Glides.
That would be funny too. But if you go to the movie, then you know, you say, they told me to bring this to the seat number just before the show started. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. And they hand it to you. Hey, this is scary.
And you look around and everyone in the theater is John Malkovich. And then you look at yourself and you're John Malkovich. And it's like, what's happening?
What's going on? I just bought this ticket 5 minutes ago.
You're like, you're trying to say, I just bought this ticket 5 minutes ago. But you're just saying, Malcolm Malkovich, John Malkovich. And then like, what's happening?
Either way, it was pretty awesome and weird.
If they do like articulated hands on a 7-inch figure, I'll be surprised. I think that might be a company spitballing a bit higher than what is feasible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's neat. Like, if it comes out at like those Mech Fan Toys prices, like that's going to be one of those things I keep putting in an eBay cart and then not buying. But I will sometime. I would really like to get that taller Galvatron, but I haven't yet.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But yeah, so that's our KO corner for this week.
We love these oversized things. So let's move on to trips to the store. And this is the part of the show where we do it on YouTube and we show off stuff that we got in the last week or so. We will simulcast it here with the audio, and I guess we will go to YouTube now. Transmissions wouldn't be what it is today without the awesome support of our listeners. If you'd like to support our shows and enjoy the exclusive benefits that our donors get, please visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Daryl has a smirk on his face, like maybe he's got a lot of stuff. So I'm gonna go to Evangelist first.
I got a couple things I can talk about. I found some new retail Transformers recently. Found Legends Brawn. Found him at a Toys R Us, so he's out in Canada for certain, sure, even though lots of people found him already. And because of the sale going on, I also got Berserker. Would you like some making fudge? Berserker. Brawn is extremely normal. He does a whole lot of completely average things very well, and there's nothing really wrong with him. I guess I felt like I was going to get something more. If I had any problems with him, in fact, it's that his little cockpit that opens up to put the other Brawn inside, it doesn't click down. So if you have another little guy inside of here in robot mode, and things wriggle too much and they're not locked in, I actually had his little Brawn fall out of him at one point, and that was kind of embarrassing. Also, the holes on mine seem to be a little bit too big. I can't get things. I try to insert things into Brawn in every single hole I could find, and it keeps falling out. So I don't know if it's me or if it's Brawn. We got to have a conversation about that. As for Berserker, I like this guy's robot mode a lot. I put up a couple photos on Twitter and Instagram. His vehicle mode, as you can see, is fine. It's actually kind of cool how much he compacts down. It's a really neat transformation. The problem is, let me see if I can do this. I haven't tried this before, but with Wheelie. Titans Return Wheelie. Good-looking modes, but if you took his car mode, even if you have a good one like me, and you squeeze it, then he looks like he was, like, every single panel comes undone, and he's like a crushed little car. This guy, you're not gonna see it in the webcam, but it is similar. Every single little panel connection on him comes apart really easily. There is kind of a trick to get everything balanced, but you have to connect a panel here, a panel here, a panel here, a tab, tab, and a panel, and then two tabs up here. And as you do the circle around, if you do, you know, follow the instructions, do the circle around him of trying to connect everything, by the time you get back here, suddenly this one is undone again, or I guess for the camera.
I hate that.
You start here, you go around, and then, oh, this is undone, I'll pop that in, pop, and then the one over here came out when you did that. This guy relies on tabs that are support, they're like good supporting tabs, but there's no main click anywhere, and I could see that being a massive point of frustration for a lot of people, considering it was a point of frustration for me, and I thought Wheelie was fine. This guy is like Wheelie, but 8 times as dense with tabs that don't necessarily always work. But his robot mode is so good, I really can't recommend him for retail price at the Premier Edition markup, but since I'm in Canada and they are going on sale all the time, it was a lot easier for him to go on sale plus use one of those coupons to get, you know, some percent or some dollars off. Once he became under a $20 toy, this all became a lot less critical and just more irritating. His robot mode is great. If that's what you're after, then you got it. But, you know, his transformation is unfortunately quite annoying. The only other thing I have to show is I'm finished making a custom of a Mountain Dew machine. And the main thing about this is I used some Shapeways parts. I'll just get the head out. See if you can see that. I took some photos as well on my Twitter page. Trent Troop has a Shapeways store. You might know him from some stuff he's done Transformers-wise or from BMOG. And he's got a Shapeways store called Prize Inside, where this gun and this head are printed. Oh, that's fuzzy as hell. They're printed in high-def black acrylate, which is my current favorite Shapeways material. It looks a lot like production plastic, especially when it's been painted up. And this gun, especially, is pretty fun because you won't see it in this. In my photos, you'll see it. The tops of all these cans that I've painted silver are fully sculpted. And with the acrylate material, you can see all of the sculpting of, like, the tab and the, you know, the perforation. Awesome. And everything. It's the back of this head has got one as well, like on the back of his head, that silver circle there. Now, I did painting on this, you know, high def black acrylate, spoiler alert, is solid black. And it's also got a thing where, unlike Shapeways material, as many people know it, the powdery material, it doesn't have that grainy finish. But it does often on one surface, on the three-dimensional space it's occupying, it'll have kind of a pockmarking that you need to shave off or file down. And I would highly recommend, you know, like doing a full, you know, sanding and priming of the piece before you do paint it. But the end result looks great on something that's going to be attached onto a production toy. Like for replacement heads or for replacement Titan Master faceplates, high def black acrylate is a godsend to those artists. It's, you know, it's a pricier material than your average like white strong and flexible, But like with that new head, plus the label set, plus I did some extra painting for his legs and for his arms to get rid of a lot more of the light gray. I think this looks super sharp and I'm really proud of it because I made it too.
So that's was that one of the Combiner Wars tapes?
Yeah, this was a Rewind.
Rewind, yeah.
Okay. He's the best one to make this out of because he's got a lot of parts that are already black, and black goes great with Mountain Dew Green. So
and the labels were repro labels?
Yeah, yeah. And the head and gun are available on Trent Troop Shapeways' thing called Prize Inside. I think it's still the URL is BMOG Toys. And the thing to know is that there is a two-pack. There's like one item which is both of them, but since they're both attached by a little piece, that item is not available in high-def black acrylate, and you don't have to get that if you don't want to. But if you want that material, you have to go to their separate item pages. And those were sent over to me by Trent because he said, hey, I want to send you some stuff. So for full disclosure, I did not pay for those. But I did pay for the paint, and I put in all that labor, so whatever.
Yeah, well, it looks great.
Yeah, thank you. It was a lot of fun to do. I've been going kind of nuts. I'm doing that thing where I've got the big long barbecue skewers with an alligator clip super glued and taped to the end and a big styrofoam block to stick them in for when I'm spray painting things. When someone walks in your living room and that's sitting on a table, they think you're a crazy person. Because it's got a dismembered toy in pieces on pikes sticking off this thing. And I wrote Art Tool 1 in black Sharpie on the front of the styrofoam block to try to make it more clear. Apparently that had the opposite effect. But that's what I did. That's what I did this week.
at least you're a fan of Transformers, not Barbies.
Yeah. You know, I'm not some kind of weirdo.
Having a dismembered Barbie, that might make people call the police. Well, Daryl, what do you got?
I got a couple comic books this week. I went and I picked up the free edition of First Strike number 0 that was given out at the comic book store. I haven't looked at it yet. It's 8 pages, so it's not real big.
Well, it's also got a preview of First Strike number 1.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, so it's pretty neat. I also got Optimus Prime number 8. This is the Kazama cover. And I got Salvation. This is the cover by Verge 7. Is it Verge 17 or something like that? I don't know. Whoever did this, it looks cool. It's Trypticon. So yeah, those are the comics I got this week. I got some toys too. I have been desperately trying to complete this figure since Yoshi gave me the inner robot last year at TFCon Chicago. And I am now complete. This is G1 Carnivac. And it is complete. I contacted a person on Facebook and was able to get the 2 shoulder pads needed and the gun. So I bought the outer shell at TFCon Chicago last year. So I'm now done with this guy. He's pretty cool. One of those pretenders that's not a humanoid character. I picked up a couple MicroMaster sets this week as well. This is Rough Stuff and his partner vehicle. These are all basically transport trucks with different kind of trailers that turn into weird vehicles. So Rough Stuff. Then I got Overlord. That would be awesome. G1 Overlord. No Jimmers. I didn't get Overlord. But Overload. And to finish off the 4 of them, this is Erector.
Showing.
Yep. So, yes, there are 4 little MicroMaster sets that are basically one guy with a partner vehicle that transforms into 2 different things. I now have all 4 of them. The other one is Flat Top, which I've had for a while.
Flat Top's the only one I don't have, oddly enough.
Really?
Yeah. I had Overload and Rough Stuff when I was a kid, and I got Erector. It was at some store that shouldn't have had Transformers anymore, and it was like from leftover stock, and then I just never ended up getting Flat Top. And I spent a good couple years not knowing Flat Top existed.
Oh, I could probably arrange for you to get it if you really wanted it, but if you, it's, I know the store that I part-time at, they have another one, so.
Now that I'm saying all this, it's going to turn out I do have a Flat Top. Like, that's how it works.
Yeah, you'll have one buried. It's one of those ones that everybody had.
It's like, yeah, I got Flat Top at like BotCon 02. Don't you remember, idiot? And it's like, hey, stop calling me an idiot, me, you idiot. And then, you know, it's recursive, dangerous stuff.
Last thing I wanted to mention was I got together with my buddy on Friday to see Wonder Woman. And Funnily enough, his name is also Charles, and he just had gotten back from Germany, whereas our podcasting Charles just left for Germany.
Are they the same Charles?
They are not. They are not, but they do seem to travel the same pattern. My buddy Charles brought back for me these Metal Earth sets. I already have the Optimus Prime one, but I haven't built it yet. This is pretty cool, though. Another Optimus Prime one. But he got me this one, and I'd never seen this version of it before. This is Bumblebee, but in gold.
It's a gold bug.
It's a gold bug. So I think that's really cool. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's pretty neat.
I think
so,
I know who got you that Optimus Prime.
I think I do, too. I have a Soundwave as well from previous gifting. So that's what I've got this week.
All right. I finally made it to the comic shop, and I have a couple things. I also got First Strike. I would say that if you notice the bottom right-hand corner of this, there's a character there. So if you read the preview for issue one, it might spoil some current Transformers events. And that's all I'm going to say.
Bottom right?
The bottom right of the cover has a character that is indisposed currently in IDW Comics.
Oh, I gotcha.
So I also got Salvation, which we are going to be talking about in alt mode this week. I got the regular cover. This is a nice thick book. I think it's like 50 pages or something. That's crazy.
It's a novel, man.
And then I also got the same Optimus Prime number 8 that Daryl got. And then I got this box from Yoshi, and I'm going to be parceling some things out. But one thing I got in here is this thing. It says, to be opened and read aloud at TFCon. So that is what I'm going to do. So at the very least, Daryl and I are going to get to enjoy this. There's a bunch of other stuff. He sent me a couple Value Village pencils, and I got my first CGC graded comic, and it is our comic. He also sent along ones for Daryl and Charles. So he got them. He dropped them off at Emerald City Comic Con, and they finally came in. And the last thing I have, because it's Father's Day, and because we have a podcast on the network called Paladins of Voltron, I'm going to show off my Father's Day present. I got the Legendary Defender.
Hey,
I'm pretty happy with this. And I was surprised that it's actually made well enough to hold up to a 3-year-old playing with it.
It's almost too well made. Like there is a trick to getting the arms to detach. And if you don't know the trick, it's hard.
Oh, yeah. Is it the just bend it up until it pops out?
So there's two tricks, because there's that one. And there's also the like stick your hand around the. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the legs have it, and then bend it down, like
right.
Yeah,
the legs have a nice little button that releases them.
Yeah.
I kind of want, if I'm going to take him to task for something, it's like, yo, you did a button, so I know you know how to do that.
Right. So yeah, that's my biggest complaint. But I mean, it looks great. I love that you get this big freaking sword with it, which I don't know where I put it right now, but. It's a great thing. So yeah, it's a Transformers show, but
I don't know how much those guys are to get all the pieces in the US, but they're finally available in Canada, like all the bits, and they've been available at Walmart, but I saw them all today at Toys R Us, all five members, mm-hmm. and they're $150 if you want all five of them.
It's up there. I can't remember the prices of each one. I know the arms are the cheapest. The legs are in the middle, and the black is the most expensive.
When I found him in the States, it was like 40 US for the Black Lion, and then the four limbs were all somewhere between 16 to 18 US.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yep. So that's all I got this week. We're back from our trips to the store. Now let's go into some convention news. And the first thing we got this week is Hasbro team members John Warden and Ben Montano had put up a video talking about HasCon, and we gave them a lot of flack a few weeks ago about they announced all these different packages and there wasn't any specific Transformers package. Well, this is it. They have amazing experiences where you can have meet and greets with members of the Transformers design and brand teams. You can meet Frank Welker and Peter Cullen and get their autographs. They're going to have a Transformers fans lounge. That's a hangout space. They're going to have a Stan Bush concert, and there's a question mark here, HasCon exclusive figure, and there are reveals of the 2018 toy line, like Power of the Primes, Masterpiece, and movie line, and there's opportunities that Transformer fans can only get at HasCon. I'm still not super big on HasCon. It seems like they're taking a lot of the complaints that people had from BotCon and be like, hey, let's make a convention around that.
You didn't drop the word family. That's very important. You have to say they bought a trademark for it. It's a family experience.
And they definitely used it right at the start of their video.
They did, but they didn't lean into it the way I do, and I was kind of disappointed.
No, they didn't. But they did definitely seem to want to make themselves seem younger and jive with the young people. Come hang with us. We're going to have some amazing experiences. But you could tell that this has been chopped to hell. This video had been edited to like crazy because of all the like the real quick cuts. And just, you know, they were on the topic of something and then the video would just cut and they'd be in a different position.
Well, that's how the YouTube people do it these days.
Oh, lazy editing.
The video was very nicely produced as far as the layout and the lighting. The MP10 video as well. They've really, I think, stepped up the way that they're presenting their design team as faces.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is, I think, the big positive of the video content they've been putting up in the last week and a half. The thing about this video,
they did that hangout a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
More stuff like that, I would love, especially if we get invited to one, which we haven't been.
I think they're really taking steps to do something I hoped they would do, which is like putting faces on this team and putting personalities on them. The thing about this video that made me sad is I spent a good week very solidly arguing, and I think I'm still on the right track, that HasCon is, in the bigger picture, not this year's BotCon, and trying to treat it as this year's BotCon is just going to make you get bummed out. If it's not like it's going to be a terrible show. Like, these teams are all there because it's at Hasbro HQ. Like, if you live in that area, there's no reason not to go. It's just if you are a person who would make a big trip out of BotCon, like you might want to make sure there's other stuff you want to do in Rhode Island as well. And then this video comes out, which is, like, in our topic list in WTF, I kind of portrayed this video as Hasbro really would love it if you came to HasCon.
Yeah.
Because that's the tone I got from it, and it kind of bummed me out.
They have a few fan bases that sustain their own conventions, like Transformers, My Little Pony, G.I. Joe, all have conventions every year that largely fan based, but like, you know, JoeCon is still a thing. They're trying to do all that together. So people that are used to going to one, I think you're right, they're just going to be very disappointed in what they get here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's much crossover among the different fan bases. So you're going to go for your Transformer stuff, maybe see a G.I. Joe thing you like, and then you're like, what am I going to do?
It's like New York Comic Con, right? Like, you go to New York Comic Con, and maybe, like, I went one year and Hasbro had a booth, and, like, that was cool. But, like, if I had just gone to see that one Hasbro booth and buy that two-pack of Prime toys, like, that would have been kind of a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
And I also still think that, you know, the term fandomly, as dumb as it is also a great way to explain what this actually is. Like, everything about it still feels like this is for the multi-generational enthusiast family that is a common thing nowadays, where it's like the parents are into something, because of that their kids got into something, maybe something different. And then it's not uncommon for all the things the family's into to have happened to fall under the very large Hasbro umbrella right now. So, like, as a family-wide experience, where you're seeing your Star Wars, your Transformers, your My Little Pony, your G.I. Joe, your everything. Like, I can see how that is a draw to the family that wants to have the family trip and maybe is tired of going to the theme park. You know, like, there's an audience for this, I think. It's just that that audience may exist in the Transformers fandom, but, like, in this podcast as well, I will stress, if you're going to go to a forum and then make a thread or participate in the thread about, so do you think this replaces BotCon? Like, just save yourself the effort and don't, because I do not see this as a BotCon replacement, even down to its intent.
Right. I mean, the $600 superfan ticket is not for a family. That is a single person. Mm. You know, if I was going with my wife and kid, that would not be the ticket we would do.
Yeah.
And I did ask this kind of on Facebook, and I kind of assumed that $600 for a bunch of relevant stuff maybe was just a Magic the Gathering or Dungeons and Dragons thing. But people who are into that stuff told me rather quickly, no, that is not a thing we do. And they thankfully didn't throw in, also, what do you think we are made of money? And I was going to say, well, yeah, y'all buy 4 Black Lotuses for your deck. I assume you're all made of money. But that conversation never actually happened.
Right.
Black Lotus is restricted. They would only be able to use one.
Well, you got to proxy it or whatever the card player word is. I don't know. I have a German copy of Clone.
Proxy's right. just for using the card if you don't actually own the real one. Well, I used to play Magic. I don't play it anymore.
I have German Magic cards I used to mix into my deck because I went to Germany once. Then I didn't know what the cards did because I didn't have the English version, and it was a mess.
I agree with you on this because this convention is, what, 3-4 days?
3 days.
3 days. Okay, so if you're attending a BotCon, which is a 3-day, or a TFCon for that matter, 3-day, you're going to get constant Transformers at all of those events. So if you go to this convention, it's very possible that you see everything there is to see Transformers-wise in a few hours.
Mm-hmm. They'll probably space out the panels, so you would have to go multiple days.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you're there for seeing Welker and Cullen and going to the Stan Bush concert, you know, you might be able to see all of that in one day. So if you plan it out that, you know what, Saturday is the day that I need to be there for Stan Bush and Welker and Cullen and, you know, to go out and see, you know, as much as I can see Transformers-wise, yeah, you could probably do it in an afternoon, you know. Mm. Whereas a BotCon or a TFCon, that's an event now. You know, you go and you spend the entire weekend.
I think it's important, though, to I want to clear it up here since I do it so many times on my own show. Like, I'm not trying to just take a massive fecal dump on HasCon. I think that for a Hasbro-themed event at their HQ, what they're presenting is, for the most part, completely fine. I think the ticket price on the superfan packages is kind of crazy, and I'm not sure where that's coming from. It's all themed to Magic the Gathering, Dungeons and Dragons. And even if those fans are telling me that's a crazy price, like, I still have no frame of reference, really. Like, I don't understand how that is being arrived at. It's just, like, it's so easy, I think, to fall into a conversation of, like, how much this isn't BotCon or TFCon or you know, TF Expo or any other Transformers show. And, like, at a certain point, on day one, it wasn't. I just really wish that this video didn't feel like it wanted to try to entice Transformers fans who already decided not to go to go, because there was a certain level of that in this that I thought was not dishonest. I can't think of a better word. It just felt like it was a little misleading, because like if you're just a Transformers mm-hmm. fan and you go to this thing from like cross country or cross continent, I feel like you're going to end up kind of disappointed, you know?
Well, thankfully, Mike, our editor, is in the area, so I'm pretty sure he's planning on going.
Yeah.
Well, the turn of phrase is, you know, he's going because he works for you.
It's going to be one of those things that seems like it's going to be very overproduced. You get those things like BotCon, which are not corporately run, but you know that there's a corporation behind it mm-hmm. where they're, it's not like all the fun has been, it's not all fun, like sucking, but there's a point at which the fun stops because there's a corporation there. Perfect example is the third party stuff that happened right near the end of BotCon, right? Where they said, you know what? Fuck it. We're not doing any third party. You can't have third party or anything non-licensed at BotCon. And that really started to really mess with the fun of BotCon, right?
Says the person that's never been to BotCon.
Well, yeah, but a lot of complaints about that. But then you go to a place like TFCon or any other fan run convention, and they really don't answer to anyone.
It's a double-edged thing, because they're like, I'll be the first one to say that there are advantages to the corporate run convention, which is, you know, the team members definitely being there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason John Barber's never been to TFCon until this year. And that's because he was an IDW employee at the time and
exactly.
couldn't yeah. go.
Yeah, there's give and take. It's just that I think for a polished corporate convention, there are a bunch of gives, but one of the gives, I think, is in my mind, is supposed to be like, there's going to be an easy walk-in price, or there's going to be something about this that is one thing you do on this trip you're taking to this town. And this one feels more like it's just, you know, we're in Rhode Island, so we're going to open our doors. And then I just get the mixed messaging of the $600 packages that happen to be there as well. And of, you know, the video that is really wanting y'all to come down here. And I'm like, I get mixed messages from it, even though like its intent is so clear. And it feels kind of odd. Like, I wish I could go. I'm really curious how it turns out. And I absolutely want it to go well. Like, I don't want this thing to be a train wreck. Because it seems like the guys who all are working there and thus will be there are kind of stoked about opening up the doors and, you know, meeting up with whoever shows up. So I want them to have a good time.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move on to TFCon because we all are going to be there. We don't really have any new news about guests. But, Daryl, you wanted to kind of do a TFCon preview. So take it away.
Because the three of us are confirmed for TFCon in less than a month, I wanted to just kind of run through some things that people can expect when they go to TFCon. Maybe this is your first TFCon. Maybe it's your first time in Canada. Maybe you're not a newbie and you've come for a few years and, you know, you're just, you just want to kind of hear us talk about, you know, some good memories of TFCon and some things that you may have forgotten about. What can people expect when coming to TFCon? Well, for me, my first year was 2011. I remember vividly walking in to the hotel, and after check-in, I walked into the bar area, and it was Vangelis was one of the first people I saw sitting down on the couches there with Josh Perez, Derek Wyatt, and a couple other people there. I can't remember who else. And a PA was there, and I sat down and I was chatted to almost immediately. I was very quiet at the time and then didn't really say too much and was then ignored and then I left. But no, it was a very welcoming environment. And if I had been a little bit more forthcoming with comments and engaging in the conversation, I probably would have been a little bit easier to talk to there. But that was on me. But I can't imagine a more welcoming place. And I've been to a lot of conventions since that first one in 2011. And I cannot compare the environment of TFCon to any other convention. Some are insanely busy, like Fan Expo that I've gone to, and you don't even want to try to talk to anybody there.
Well, no, you do, but what you do is you do what I do. You don't actually go to Fan Expo. You just go to the sidewalk outside and wait for people to show up so you can sell them a thing and then say, hey, so how are the lines? And then they give you dirty looks and you go like, hey, 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 and
then you walk I'm not home. Here. And you walk away with your money. Yeah. You bastard.
I've never been to Fan Expo and I still feel kind of bad, even though even that last time you literally told me like you probably shouldn't go to this.
Like, no, you should. There's nothing here you'd like. As far as the other conventions, like I've been to a lot of small ones as well. Here in London, my town, my hometown, they've started doing smaller conventions, much smaller than TFCon. The environment is still not as welcoming as TFCon. Everybody there is into the same stuff. And that is the key. You'll walk into the bar at any given time, breakfast or 2 a.m., and there is somebody transforming something. It's fantastic. Jeremy, you've been there a couple times.
Yeah. 2011 was also my first one.
And we did not know each other.
Yeah.
And
that's so weird. So
it is.
We didn't meet until 2013.
Yeah.
That's double weird because there's 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we met online through this. And then we're like, oh, hey, we were both at that convention. Never saw each other.
But what was your first experience with TFCon?
Probably walking into the hotel and having a guest gift for a wedding that was also at the hotel. And apparently my room was originally one of the block for the wedding.
So, hey, if you want to know what to expect at TFCon, by the way, and this is true, there will probably be a wedding there. And someone involved with the wedding will probably look pretty mad that TFCon is happening at the same time.
That's the best, actually.
Without fail. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt, but
no, that's fine. I had been in conventions before. BotCon 2004 was my first convention, so I was familiar with kind of what to expect in terms of like panels and dealer room and stuff like that. But I don't know. I think things that I've only seen at TFCon, like Faction Feud and stuff like that, that are they're a lot of fun to do. And I also was very shy, and there was like a time I think I was at the bar and didn't really talk to anybody. No one really talked to me. I walked out, but that's just me and my own insecurities. And now it's a little bit easier because people are like, hey, you're that guy from that podcast. I'm like, yeah. And we start talking for a little bit.
That's great. So the bar is also another place where you'll see guests from the show there hanging mm-hmm. out, having a drink, eating. You know, don't talk to them when they're eating. Have some respect. But
although if they come up to you while you're eating and they want to sit down at your table and have breakfast with you, by all means, say, you know, yes, Nick Roach, you can come and sit with us.
Yes, that's probably Nick Roach. So, yeah, he's probably just looking for a place to have breakfast. So, yeah, so
the question welcome is, do you let him just start picking off of your breakfast, or is that where you draw
oh,
the line?
Oh, no.
That's a line. Yeah, there's a line there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But what about you, Evangelist? You've been going for a while. What was your first experience with TFCon, and how have you seen it change over the years?
Well, my first TFCon was 2008, and I'd been going to every BotCon since 2000. So to me, TFCon was like, it was kind of my second convention, and then it became my primary convention. If it makes you guys feel any better, by the way, or anyone who feels, you know, very awkward socially about going to their first or even second convention, I went to BotCon 2000. I went to BotCon 2001. I talked to nobody, except for, like, I talked to exactly one person at BotCon 2001 for about 10 minutes. I talked to exactly two people at BotCon 2002, again, for about a total of 10 minutes. BotCon 03 is the first time I ever hung out with more than one person at a show. So it took me 3.5 years to even start hanging out with people. Granted, I was like 15, 16 when I went to my first convention, but does that really mean anything? Like, I see tons of younger people at conventions. So I feel like it's an important thing to lead off with when talking about the social side. Like, it took me a while. And if you have seen me at conventions, I'm not like a social butterfly necessarily, but I talk to a lot of people and I try to be as open as I can to talking to people, often to a fault. You ask anyone that's trying to actually get anything done with me and you'll find out that I'm an irritating person to have on a team when at a convention because I keep stopping. But my first time at TFCon was in 08 when they were at the old hotel, and it was actually much smaller than it is now. That's the weird thing. Current TFCon is actually a lot bigger than it was when I first started going. And I think that part of the quality of TFCon is that as it's grown, it's endeavored to maintain its social atmosphere, even though that has backed off a little bit. Like, there used to be a straight up sanctioned Friday night parts trading and pizza party. And that did end for decent reasons, because that kind of just became a lot of people who didn't want to buy a dealer table showing up and just treating the trading room like a dealer room. And so, you know, it has changed over time with its experience, and I think for the better. Like, you know, it's maintaining Faction Feud, and that's a huge social thing. The karaoke night is big, as far as I'm concerned. That's another fantastic bit. And there is also just this social atmosphere there that has persevered, even as I've seen people kind of come and go from being more open socially and then kind of, you know, moving on to a clique of friends they've gotten to know. And I've kind of transitioned around here and there a little bit as well. I find I'm more interested in meeting new people, and sometimes if the choice comes up, it's kind of like I kind of feel like hanging out in an area where I'll meet new people. And then, you know, sometimes I want to just go hang out with people I've known for years. Like, I'm kind of back and forth. But if you've gone to a couple TF cons, you know, you might notice that too, that like some faces start becoming a bit less common at the bar, but then there are new faces showing up. And TF con just feels so fluidly social that I think that is one of its absolute biggest qualities. And I think it is a place where those who feel a bit socially awkward, like, it might not work out, you know, the first time or two, but it's a place where you've got a lot of good chances to make that successful dice roll, as you might say, to kind of crack the code a little bit and figure out, you know, how to just meet new people and chat up new people. And that is a really hard thing to do for a lot of folks, myself included. If there's one tip I've always tried to give, it's that I found the only surefire thing, if you want to break it to a formula, is people who are pretty chill tend to just graft onto a lot of groups who are chatting about stuff. Like, chill will get you far. Unfortunately, I don't know how to define chill for you beyond be chill. And that's where kind of the advice stops being helpful. But if that is, to anyone who might be going to their first convention, like, if that is helpful at all, I've found without fail, people who are chill tend to just start hanging out more and more. And then suddenly it's a person that I've known for a couple conventions and I assume is someone else's friend who keeps showing up. And it's like, no, they got to know everybody. As someone might say in the Prestige grapevine, be like the cream in the ice cream, chill and socially fluid. That's an original saying that I thought up all by myself. I'm kind of transitioning to a completely different topic here of like what to do in your first time. So yeah, like TFCon has changed a lot, but the thing that always seems to hold true for TFCon to quite an impressive degree is how much it tries to be an open and welcoming atmosphere, is what I would say.
No, I agree fully. So outside of the official guest list, what other people might be hanging out at TFCon? So you're going to be there.
Unfortunately, yeah. I'll
Chris will be there. Jeremy and I will be there. Like I said before, sometimes Pia is there. I've talked to him. He's not going to be there this year. Proto Man is always there. It would take an awful lot for him to not be there.
Well, he lives in Montreal. If he doesn't show up, like literally you just throw a brick in the direction of Montreal and go like, hey, show up.
You yell, poutine sucks, and he runs over.
No, you go, hey, I think poutine is fine on shoestring fries. And then just see what happens.
Oh, that's horrendous. I'll fight you for that.
Nah, it is disgusting. I'm putting on a character there.
Is there anyone else you can think of that's a regular for TFCon but doesn't appear on the, that people would know?
A lot of Artist Alley regulars are down there.
Yes,
a lot of crafts
true.
People.
Yes, yes.
A lot of crafts people and artists. Sometimes if an artist isn't in the guest list, they might still be there. There's a lot of artist community at TFCon and cosplay community. And I think that those are almost, they're almost harder to penetrate than the general convention community. Like that's kind of where I feel out of sorts. And I get I don't know how to talk to artists, even though I know a few. I always feel like I'm interrupting their commissions or I'm standing in the way of someone buying prints from them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, lots of artists, Venksta, if you're following what Venks has been up to of late, he'll probably be selling some stuff. He'll probably have some of those friggin' cool 3D printed statues and busts.
Oh yeah.
The Little Formers guy.
Matt Moylan.
Yeah,
Matt
Moylan. Yes.
Yeah,
he's always
one of my favorite artists. Yeah, I love Matt Moylan stuff.
And a couple plush artists are there as well, you know, like Mazelby or Shattered Needle.
Yeah, I can't remember who I got the plush from in Chicago, but I got a little plushy sludge Dinobot, and those are great.
And it is worth noting, as came up in a text stream somewhere on this monitor, that plushies sell out friggin' fast. And if you know a plushie that's going to be there, and you know everyone else wants one, you're going to need some help. I once got help getting a plushie from Shirley. I cheated.
That was a plushie. Was the cause of the charity auction bid war last year.
Oh, you
remember
right.
That one? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was to get a plushie. And both of those young ladies did not realize that there would be a second offering of the early entry. And they bid that early entry up to over $200.
Just yeah. Like with our comic.
Yeah.
That's another thing to expect, by the way. There is also a charity auction, which is surprisingly fun to attend.
Yes.
Oh, and Scott McNeil is... I got that right, didn't I?
Yep. Yeah, he's going to
this year
posting it.
Oh, yeah, we got Scott McNeil. If Scott McNeil's at a convention, like he's kind of a pseudo-attraction in and of himself, because he's usually just wandering everywhere. You'll bump into him at, 3 in the morning. Like, he'll be around, you know? His handlers will probably look very tired. So if you see his handlers, give him a cup of coffee.
Yeah. I would like to say, if you're coming from the States like I am, you need to do something that I need to do still. Go to your bank, exchange your money for Canadian money ahead of time.
Yes. And there's one other really key thing. Make sure your credit card is a credit card in Canada. Because in the States, you guys have a shared credit debit card, I believe.
Yeah.
I know a guy who his card, when he used it for the room, got used as a debit card instead of a credit card. And that meant he had no money that weekend. So you want to really make sure if you're using your card for your room, make sure it's being used as a credit card. If you've never come to Canada before, it might be worth going to your bank in person and just asking some questions about what to do when you're traveling. Because we have a separate debit card and a separate credit card up here. And our system might have trouble with an American card if you don't know what to do going in.
Yeah, I would plan on using cash or actual credit cards and, pay it off when you get back. Also, your cell phone, make sure you contact
the other tip was a cell phone.
Yeah, you contact your cell phone provider, figure out your plan. I know I've already searched, I have AT&T in the US, and it's like $10 a day for a 24-hour period that you use your phone, or you can do like a $40 for a month of like international usage. So I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do. We also have Wi-Fi calling on our phone, so I could just, anywhere I have a hotspot, I could use it as a phone.
And also, if you've never gone over the border for a convention before, I got a couple tips. Take these tips as you want to take them, because bear in mind, I'll say this up front, I am a person who believes you don't necessarily have to tell the whole truth at the border. You have to use certain language, and something came up over here, which is very good to know. Don't go over the border and say you're going to meet a bunch of people that you met online, because that's a buzzword. That's a buzz phrase that could get you stuck for a while. If you want to get through customs real fast, going to a Transformers convention, this is what I've done for years, and it's always worked. They say, where are you going? I'm going to insert city. Business or pleasure? Pleasure. What you doing there? I'm going to a Transformers toy convention, and look really eager. Only once in like 13 years have I had someone not usher me through customs when I said that.
They don't want to deal with you.
Well, I had the time where I said that, and the guy went, Transformers, that's awesome, I love that show. You got any Megatron? And he engaged in a conversation. I was real jet lag tired that time, and I was like, this is the one time I wasn't prepared for this. Oh, crap. And so I got through the conversation. If you're going through customs, like, some stuff that will kind of activate a customs officer is if you say you're meeting with friends that you've never met in person, or you're meeting with people you know online, just say you're going to a convention, a sci-fi convention, and that's enough. If you want to say a Transformers toy convention, that's fine too. But you don't have to give as much information as you might think. Like, giving too much info opens the road to questioning that could keep you stuck at the border for a bit, and it might get kind of awkward. And if you're coming to sell stuff, don't say you're coming to sell stuff. Not unless you actually are driving over with a big truck and there's no way getting around it. You know, just give the minimal information necessary is my experience going back and forth over customs.
Just going on vacation, going to go see some friends.
Yeah.
Ignore these big bins of stuff.
I wouldn't even say I'm going to go see friends. That always opens up questions with me. It's just like, I'm going to a sci-fi convention. And then sometimes I'll ask, yeah, do you know anyone? And then it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I go on a message board called tfw2005.com, et cetera, et cetera. And by no means say, oh, I'm going to buy this Transformer, what turns into a gun? It's one I'm real excited to buy. I got one, if you want to see it, down the front of my pants.
He turns into a submarine.
Yeah, sorry, submarine. Also, if you have a gun down your pants and they say, what's that? Don't say it's a submarine, because then you're starting trouble. Also, don't go through customs with a gun down the front of your pants. For crying out, get out, whoever it is we're talking to.
Yeah, I guess one of the things there, if you have to go through customs, also make sure you have your passport. And if you don't have your passport right now, it's probably too late.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It takes time to get a passport. Get a passport. I would really recommend. Because how long does a passport last in the States?
10 years or so. I mean, it's pretty long.
Yeah. Just get one. Like, even if you're not coming, like, I think you'll probably be in a position to use it in the next decade. It's really worth getting one. Also, if you get a passport, you've opened up world travel to yourself, and that's pretty fun.
I mean, my kid, not even three yet, and he's gone all over the world, more places than I have.
So. By himself?
No. With my wife.
Okay, because... Okay.
They're taking separate vacations now. They're in therapy. It doesn't look good.
No.
I mean, but, some kids are smart, you know? Like, if he can go to Germany or something by himself, by all means.
But, yeah, anyway, I think these are all great ideas. And, you know, if you see any of us at the convention, stop and say hi. We won't bite your head off.
No, yeah. we love talking to people.
Like, for me, the only times where I'm not super up for talking is if, like, and I try to make it clear if I'm in a rush to get somewhere, then, like, I feel really bad about cutting a conversation short. Or if I'm, like, if I'm sitting down and, like, eating something, like, I'm not opposed to people coming over and saying hi. It's just, like, I might be eating stuff, and that might be gross. But, yeah, like in general, a lot of people usually are pretty open to just chatting about stuff. And then if people seem like, you know, they're like, oh, I don't know if I want to talk to this person, like... You know, it's hard to, it can be really hard to read people. I totally understand.
Yeah.
If it's any kind of consolation, what I find is something that might be helpful is, if a conversation feels like it's not going well, everyone there is there for Transformers, and thus there are a whole lot of other potential conversations to start. So if you feel like you don't know how to exit a conversation, you know, or something.
Especially with the movie just coming out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Also, if you do want a real easy way to to kind of get out of a conversation. It's kind of almost the universally agreed upon line is it's like, well, I really got to go. And there's something in the dealer room. I wanted to pick up and I want to go make sure I grab hold of it. Like a lot of, that's kind of a universal, like, I kind of want to just like peel off for a second, be by myself. Like a lot of people tend to drop that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of the dealer room, the mainstays in the dealer room that you may or may not be looking for, there is a vendor by the name of Russ who runs a basically G1 parts table. So if you're looking for G1 parts, there are a couple other tables that have them. I know B&K Collectibles is another one, and they will basically have a lot of stuff, but Russ has like 8 tables. It's ridiculous the amount of stuff the guy has. So if you're looking for parts, specifically G1 stuff, there's going to be stuff there. Also, Madhouse Toys is most likely going to be there. Mm-hmm. They attend most of the shows that TFCon people put on, and they are essentially a third-party toy dealer. So if you're looking for something specific, third-party-wise, Madhouse Toys has probably gotcha. I heard Ages 3 and Up is going to be there, so that's nice.
They're coming out there, too.
They're coming from Vancouver, so that's pretty awesome. TF Source comes. They're pretty big.
Chosen Prime. Chosen Prime usually shows up there. Chosen Prime and their big fancy booth sometimes shows up. Yes,
that's right. They've done it the last couple years.
If you want to see an impressive booth.
Yeah,
they do it upright.
And Sergio is reminding me in the Discord that Repro Labels is going to be there.
Absolutely,
this is the only convention that they actually attend. The prices that you see online, don't quote me on it because it's been this way for the last few years, but the dollar in Canada sucks, so they may change it. But the prices you see online, you pay at the convention in Canadian dollars, it's fantastic. And there's no shipping or sales tax or none of it. It's fantastic. So, yeah, if you want to get Repro Labels and you're going to be hitting TFCon anyway, budget out some money for labels.
I'm going to be going over a few of my toys and seeing what could use some labels.
Yeah.
Also, Repro Labels sometimes sells off
models. I'm going there first.
Well, this is how it works. I say this is happening, and then I also say, if you cut in front of me and get something I want, like it's blood feud time. It's chew your meat down to the bone time. We're gonna fight over that. I can't believe he got the $300 Quantron before I did. God damn it! Anyway, I'm not holding a grudge. There's also the $300 Utopia. God damn it! I'm not holding a grudge. I'm just saying. Maybe I shouldn't have said
that. Yeah, they do.
You know
that.
What? You know what? Edit that out. None of you heard that. What? Who's Repro Labels? They sound like they sell stickers, not toys. Huh? What? I heard that from Russian Yoshi that they sell. You can't trust Russian Yoshi. Decals. They sell decals and decals there. Nothing to worry about. Ooh, look at that text chat. Just going. It's just going.
But yeah, no, there's lots of stuff to see there. There's some of the third-party companies that I can think of. Make Toys usually has a representative there that's selling their stuff. Fans Project has been in there the past little while. Maybe not last year, but the year before for sure. And most likely, some of these booths that are representing some of these specific third-party companies will have toys specifically exclusive for TFCon. Like last year, there was the Sphinx from Ocular Max. It was Ocular Max, right?
Yeah, Ocular Max Mastermind.
There is most likely going to be an exclusive TFCon figure. We haven't seen or heard anything about it yet, which is odd.
Probably a couple. You know, like there's probably going to be a couple, and some of these guys are still kind of in this habit of like, well, not in the habit, but some of these guys, their logistics are still such that they sometimes don't know they have it until like Friday.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I would think that some of it would have been announced by now, but.
Sometimes it's Friday and they think they have something to sell, but it got stuck at customs. But yeah, there's usually stuff that's a quote unquote dealer room exclusive. And often the dealer room exclusives end up online as well if there's leftover stock.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to briefly mention about G1 parts. There's never been a better time to be someone who's collecting G1 and realizes they need a whole lot of parts. Because as I understand it, a lot of G1 collectors now have all the parts they want. So it's kind of like the competition to get at some G1 parts, not all, but some of them, has lessened greatly over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So, there are some parts that would have been harder to get 5 years ago that aren't so much now. So if you're a G1 collector, like you, holding on this long, you've got some advantages.
I think one last thing I would like to bring up is on the art side, if you want to get a commission, now is the time to talk to the artists. That most of them have put up lists of their prices and everything and how to get a hold of them and work all that out ahead of time. So you're ahead of the people that show up at their table and request something, because they will finish the ones that they got ahead of time first. And if they don't finish it, then you'll have to wait until they get done and mail it out.
Yeah. So. And if you see the artists in the lobby feverishly working on commissions, it's not like you shouldn't go say hi, but if you can read the room, see if maybe all you should do is say hi. Like some of them are, I don't understand the workload some of those folks take on. Like I understand it, 'cause it's how you make, you know, your money from the trip, but oh my God, like I couldn't fathom doing all that work while doing the show. And, you know, in some cases being on a Q&A panel at the same time and running a table, like the artists there do a lot of work. I wish I bought more prints. Like I buy prints sometimes. I don't have anywhere to put prints, but like I just feel like bad right. if I don't.
I have poster tubes full of prints that I bought from various conventions. Yeah, I've nailed down my first commission today, so I'm hoping to get at least one more.
And you know, if you like the comics that they're drawing, like as far as I know, I can't speak for artists, but it's my understanding artists generally really like it if you tell them, hey, I love the work you're doing on these books.
Yeah.
That usually makes artists pretty happy, but you know.
And sometimes, most of the times, they'll have, you can buy pages from the books that they've worked on, which is, you know, if you don't want a commission, but you want some of their art, that might be a better way to get it.
And they usually have like some pretty badass prints as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they'll often like do a run of prints for specifically for the show, or some of them even like do up a full on print, especially for the show in question. Josh Perez often tries to do up prints based on who the guest list is.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Perez does some friggin' cool prints.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if he doesn't do a print of that color corrected to G2 Megatron of that Lost Light cover, I'm going to be upset. I want that.
Well, it's any consolation, Josh Perez also does a really good prints on karaoke night. you know, don't tell him I sent you, but tell him I sent you.
Isn't that you, karaoke night in the during the same time as the faction feud?
It's like supposed to be right after, but I'm not sure. Faction Feud always ends up going long, but technically Karaoke Night always ends up going long too, because they keep it going until bar closes up.
We have a little bit of feedback to get into, so let's take care of that, and that should be it.
All right, in feedback, we have an email from Josh. He's replying about Barricade, who he mentioned in an email that Charles discussed with him. He says, hey guys, listening at work, been loyal since last year. The last night Barricade totally has to punish and enslave on the figure. The knuckles have protect and serve. Mystifyingly, on the on-screen one has the cringe-worthy keep calm and hail Megatron in place of punish and enslave, which is terrible. That's all. Love your show, and thanks for the laughs. Charles wrote a bit here and says that he just found this. Never mind.
He discovered that. Well, he Charles corrected himself before the episode went up, but he still wants to give Josh credit.
Right.
And I still think the whole Knuckles saying protect and serve is just probably one of the coolest ideas for just, you know, a Decepticon cop.
Yeah.
Did you see the trailer that went up where you see part of his transformation?
No. I've avoided it because I'm trying to keep as much new for the movie as possible.
Okay, because they worked his knuckles in the transformation, and it's pretty cool.
Oh.
It's pretty cool. It's dumb in the way that, like, his knuckles doing a thing is what you're supposed to be looking at, and obviously, if you look around them, you're just seeing a bunch of nonsense motion, but it's still pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers.
Well,
I just like that they put it in the toy.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing it on Wednesday.
Yeah. I'm on the Wednesday crew too. Seeing it VIP, because why not?
Me too.
Yeah.
Get me a pulled pork sandwich.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, that is the end of the show. So before we go, Vangelis, how can people find you online?
You can find me at all my stuff that I do online ends up on my blog on vangelis.ca. I also host the WTF at TFW Transformers podcast on tfw2005.com. I'm also on YouTube at youtube.com/vangelis central, or if you look up Vangelis Reviews, you'll find my channel there. I'm Vangelis on Twitter. I'm Vangelis Central on Instagram. Vangelis Central on Facebook. And that's just about all of my influencer outreach. I have a Tumblr as well, which I need to reblog stuff on more often. And I think I once had an Ask FM. My ICQ number is 333-44073. And yeah.
My ICQ number is 723-72388.
Wow.
Why do we remember
y'all are in the eight characters? I'm 3167580.
Man. I should also mention, I do have a Snapchat. I just don't know how to use it. I got Snapchat because I saw some other YouTube folks use it, and I saw that you could use a QR code to physically scan someone into your friends list, and I thought that was neat. But then after that, I stopped using it for anything. But I do have a Snapchat. I forgot what my name is on there.
Might be Vangelis.
Probably. Probably. Also, if you do want to reach me for anything, usually the easiest way is Twitter. That's still my primary social media for whatever reason.
What did we do before Twitter?
We actually
had to work and stuff.
Yeah.
We did Friendster. We did MySpace. I have a MySpace. It's garbage. I don't even remember what it's called. I can't remember if my LiveJournal still exists.
You have a Tinder?
I don't have a Tinder. I grilled some improv classmates because I never had Tinder, and a couple of my improv classmates were using it, and I was just like, explain this. And then I was asking them, like, what are tactics that you can use? And this led to, I learned a whole lot about online dating, and it was pretty funny. It seems like the secret of online dating is everyone's in on the joke for the most part. It's either you do it and you know it's kind of high potential for finding screwed up stuff, or you are the cause for the screwed up stuff, and it seems like there's very little in between. I'm trying to remember if I have any other social media outreaches. I'm on VidMe. I have a VidMe page. I put up a couple combiner sequences on there. I've also appeared now and then on Transmissions, a Transformers podcast.
Never heard.
They have a Patreon page.
Oh, this is your second appearance too. So you are now more a host than any other WTF at TFW.
Yeah, I'm a double decker. I'm not like that friggin' what's his name with no vowels except for the A on the front. Aaron Axsmith. I've done twice as much guest work on here as he has. Want to hear me talk to Aaron and stuff? Go check out our own podcast over on WTF2. And if you're coming to TFCon, we are going to have some podcast panel stuff, most probably.
Yay.
However that works out is how it works out, but keep your ear to the ground. We'll all yell about it when we have all our details in order.
Check Might Twitter.
Be at the check Twitter. If you're at the show, maybe check Twitter, because maybe that's where we'll yell about stuff. But our plan for the podcast panel, it's going to be like at the last couple, where it's more oriented towards podcast roundtable stuff. I got plans for this one. It's going to move. It's going to be fun. It's going to be dumb. There's probably going to be prizes if they actually get here before the show. If they don't, then there will be prizes that are pieces of paper with the names of prizes written on them, which is then you use your imagination. But yeah, we're going to have some podcast fun at TFCon. I've submitted some other panels as well. Don't know how it's all working out, but I am going to try to do what I can to do some fun media times there. So if you see a panel that has to do with media, please come check it out, because when I run a panel, I try really hard to make it a fun time for the audience, perhaps even more so than for the panel people. But also, we're trying to move past the Nerf gun thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, please don't open fire on the stage. Like, if you got to shoot at someone, shoot at Malwave. Like, he's used to it. But, you know, we're all trying to... That's a 2011, 2012 kind of thing, you know? And we're in 2017. Like, we're
evolved.
Yeah. I had a joke I was going to make that actually is terrible. At some point,
we can get you... go up against you and Aaron on Faction Feud.
The problem is, I end up being busy now during Faction Feud with like other stuff all the time. So I can just bust out some listener questions for us at the panel, and we can just treat.
Seems pretty much like an excuse. I'm hearing, Jeremy. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, we are defending champions.
I did just have a great idea all by myself. We could just have a karaoke off, if you will, that being a contest of karaoke, wherein we sing some karaoke, and then like, actually, I don't even know why we need a contest part. We should just be at, we should be at the karaoke anyway. But if you want to make a thing about it, I'm going to be a karaoke. All right. Go to karaoke. It's fun.
I actually have a couple songs that I would sing if I were there. So I might take you
do
up
it,
on that.
Do it. Do it. Do but it.
They're exceedingly dirty. I don't know whether the karaoke person would have them there.
All I know is we're kind of banned from doing Closer by Nine Inch Nails. Because it's on the karaoke list.
It's not that one.
But then someone complained, and we were asked to please not select songs with lyrics like in Closer by Nine Inch Nails. As one of my goals, something I haven't cracked the code of yet, I really want to try to be part of the way to get people to un-wallflower from karaoke. All I know how to do is to go up and sing some Lady Gaga and some Katy Perry, and that's all I know how to do. And that has un-wallflowered people sometimes, but it's not a sure science yet. That, and when someone, you know, in this case says, maybe I'll sing, I start saying, do it, like 15 times, and I kind of make eye contact, and I get my face about this close, and I'm like, do it, do it, do it. And then, you know, sometimes they just leave, so it has the opposite effect.
I think we found out what makes Vangelis tick here, Jeremy. He's a 12-year-old girl inside.
Basically, yeah. I can't do pigtails. But I have opinions on, like, I got Gaga songs I really can do. I only got one Katy Perry song. Extraterrestrial. It's pretty darn good. My Gaga menu is, I usually do Bad Romance, but I realize I've never done karaoke Paparazzi. Paparazzi's the one I did a cover of, and I'm like, why don't I actually just do karaoke Paparazzi? I might drop Paparazzi this year. But Paparazzi, Bad Romance, and Poker Face are kind of my trio, my trinity of Gaga. Then there's Katy Perry, Extraterrestrial, there's Rolling Stones, Painted Black. If there's ever System of a Down on a karaoke menu, I'm usually up for trying it. And if there's Rammstein, I'm always up for trying it, except that they frigging... We did it, and the lyrics are in English. They're the garbage studio-made English translation. So I had to pull out my phone, and it's hard to do during karaoke.
Damn right it is.
Reading off a phone. But you can't just do the you hate me translation, because that is undermining the entire wordplay and theme of that entire song.
Of course. Sounds so aggressive in German.
Yeah, the whole point of the song is it is the marriage vows is what Du Hast is. And so Du Hast is doing a wordplay of Du Hast and Du Hasse, you know, as being you have and hate, because that translation was made by a studio. It's confirmed. Rammstein doesn't like that translation. What were we talking about? Where are we?
Well, now I'm trying to get a word in so I can say thanks, okay, everyone, for listening. Yoshi will be on in a second with everything you need to know about how to subscribe to us, support our Patreon, so we can do the declassified show, or maybe we can do a whole show talking about karaoke and bring Vangelis back on.
Yo, I'm just saying, I have opinions, all right?
So thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will talk to you later. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Transmissions. Remember, you can help support the show by donating to us directly via Patreon or PayPal. Once you become a donor, you will receive access to donor-only goodies, like donor-only contests, listening to us record Transmissions live, and getting Transmission swag at 20% off. You can find links for this at transmissionspodcast.com/support. Subscribing to us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play is also a great way to support us here at Transmissions. Every subscription we get helps us get better noticed on those services. Leaving us a comment and 5-star review doesn't hurt either. Be sure to come chat with us on Discord. You will find a link for Discord at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. And of course, you can always send us an email at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
That's probably my fault. That's probably my fault.
Yeah, we'll blame Charles.
The Duggernaut would like it if I don't GoBot up this podcast, but then winked, so I'm not sure if that means GoBot up this podcast. Like, is that reverse psychology?
I'm back. I'm front. I'm inside. I just wanted to thank you all for joining us for this wonderful podcast recording today. We're going to have a whole lot of fun when we talk about the toys that we bought on our trips to the store. Now I'm going to chew on this bottle cap for you, because I've been told it helps people sleep. There is no bottle cap. That was just me making mouth noises. Now I'm going to put this Sharktacon in my mouth, very close to the microphone.
Yeah, right, I'm here.
Hi, welcome back. Nothing off, nothing weird's, hang on, putting my pants on. Nothing weird's going on.
Oh, good.
None of you tell him. None of you tell him. What? Tell him what? I don't know. That was some weird, some guy rolling through here, being a weird guy.
I know the money's on the nightstand. I got it, don't worry.